for the world and for all its people with many and changing needs. We yearn for violence to cease, for justice and peace to become real in every community. We desire poverty and homeless to be abolished and to disease to be eradicated. We feel for all those unemployed and all who work in degrading professions. We want a society where the youth are raised up and the elderly respected. We want the resources of the land, sea, and air to be used more prudently so that our grandchildren and theirs may have a good inheritance. We long for communities and a nation that take a lead rather than mimic the faults of others. Holy God, especially help us each to respect and cherish every person, both here in the church and also in the wider community. Make us flag bearers for you and your new world of integrity, hope, faith, compassion, and joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. 13, verse 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as so much to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful, is not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to the childish ways. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, and then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. And these three, and the greatest of these, is love.
We might not even be aware of what we love the most until the moment when these decisions come. But it's what we love the most, not what we think, that will decide what we do and where we will go. For the past 3 weeks, we've been studying Paul's letter to the Colossians. There's been three greatest things: faith, hope, and love. And this week, we're talking about the greatest of all, love. Indeed, love is why Paul is writing to the Colossians church. In Colossians 2, verse 1 to 2 and 5, it says, "I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for the many believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by the strong ties of love. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you." Now you see, this is not a rhetorical strategy for Paul to try to win over the letter's audience. He did not include this to try to convince the people of the Colossians church that what he was saying was really important, they should listen to him. Instead, we know from Paul's life that he had a genuine love for other people, even ones that he had never met. He would travel far and wide in the books of Acts, across the Mediterranean world, to reach the people. He was beaten, stoned, jailed, all because he knew that Jesus had first loved him, and therefore he needed to love those others. It was, in fact, Jesus' love for Paul that radically transformed him and formed him on the road to Damascus. And because of that transformation, he had a radical love for others. He writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong. If I have faith to move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, but do not love, I gain nothing." So you can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that there is, in fact, this inner dynamic, this inner work that Paul is going through inside of him. There's four things that Paul dreams of doing. Four things. If only he could speak fluently in more languages, well then he could reach more people. If only he could perform an amazing miracle, more amazing miracles, and prophesy, then he could convince people of Jesus' power. If only he could give more to the poor, then he could show how Christian way was better than the Roman way. But you see, he's careful. He recognizes the danger of wanting those things. The desire of his heart matters. The secondary thing can easily overrule what we primarily set off to do. As an example, I didn't think I'd be this kind of person, but I recently started to take a great interest in my backyard's lawn. So I saw my children playing on the lawn. I thought, wow, it would be great to have more lawn. And this particular spring and season was great for growing your lawn. So I was like putting a lot of attention into seeding the lawn, watering the lawn, you know, making sure that this new grass was going to grow, fill in all the patches. But imagine I took it so seriously of focusing on my lawn that I completely neglected my children. Suddenly, the reason for me wanting the lawn is now usurped by this other thing, the lawn growing. And that's the thing we have to be careful of. You see, Paul is really specific about what love is. It's the primary thing. It's a way of being that reflects God's character. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstances. I mean, most of us, I would assume, have heard this passage before many times. It's This is the de facto sermon text for a wedding. It's much loved. But if we are honest, we know how hard it is to live this out. We get upset when we don't get what we think we deserve. We lose patience with people that we love. We want it our own way. How does this happen? Well, we are all formed in the image of God to love and worship God. But then we are also deformed by bad influences and ideas that want us, these powers, to love other things. And these influences are not patient or kind. And we're going to go over a few examples to flesh this out. First of all, the iconic Burger King jingle. It goes like this. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Now, I'm telling you, from a person that's worked on the front lines of a major fast food restaurant, the idea that the customer is king is just wreaks havoc on what I think would have been obviously like decent people, otherwise be very decent people. But when they don't get it their own way, some people will get so angry, they'll throw their food back through the driveway, drive-through, and storm into the restaurant and demand that they deliver the promise that they are going to get it their way, perfection. There's another example. There's many, many coffee drinkers enjoy a variety of coffees. Well, Starbucks wants you to enjoy your coffee as a morning ritual. Quote, this is from their website, Starbucks. A morning coffee ritual is more than just waking up with a cup. It's a mindful moment for you to properly prepare for the day ahead. Whether it's meditating, listening to a podcast, or enjoying the quiet, adding Starbucks coffee makes it even more special, unquote. So Starbucks wants you to have a ritual associated with their brand. Are we worshiping coffee or something else? All right, finally, our smartphones. As we look at our phone to check our email, social media, and news, for me it's that in that order, there's a deformation that happens well. And each of these different things, like for instance the social media platform, they use its advertising to influence us to want and desire their things, their lifestyle. It's their product, and the user experience is designed to keep us engaged as long as possible. And I would argue that we aren't even thinking when we ritually repeat these type of behaviors, like checking our phones. It just happens. It happens as easily as it is to breathe, blink, and becomes a kind of second nature. But what is these habits, rituals, influences, what are they replacing? How is our heart being deformed? For all the time-saving devices that we have, for all the ways that we are supposed to be connected to other people, for all the money and the houses filled with things that are cheaply produced from the rest of the world, families are broken. There's never enough time. People are lonely. The early North African bishop, St. Augustine, said that the church is like a hospital. Salvation may be our life-saving surgery, but we need more than surgery. We need post-op care. We need rehabilitation to make us healthy. Otherwise, whatever caused us to need surgery in the first place will cause us to need it again. So if you get a new lung from the hospital in Ontario, you have to sign to say that you're not going to be smoking any further, to demonstrate that your future actions will not cause you to need the surgery again. What is the solution? Well, every week, our worship service includes a pattern that we can bring to our lives every day. Our worship service has a reordering and a reformation of our heart. Together, we confess our mistakes and receive God's forgiveness. We refocus our love on Jesus with hymns and praise songs. We pass the peace of Christ to others in fellowship and welcome them. We give our money in the offering for those in need, and we pray for the needs of the world. We are renewed by the word of God in Scripture and in the sermon. What difference does this make? Well, studies from Harvard and other studies from other academic universities have shown that regular church attendance increases, in fact, your time management. Church attendance leads to better grades and higher education. It reduces the risk of depression. It lowers your chance of divorce, and even significantly, lowers risk of death. That's pretty incredible. They're selling that on television. I think a lot of people are like, whoa, that's a pretty impressive list. How? This is because we are reformed in our worship of God. And worship continues to save us past this moment of salvation. It rehabituates our hearts. It changes our habits. There's got to be we have an entirely different way of thinking about love. So we think about love as something that we feel. But in the Christian tradition that St. Augustine is part of, love isn't something you feel. Love is habits. Habits are things that we do repeatedly. Habits are repeated until they become like second nature to us, like breathing and blinking. When we see people that amaze us with their generosity and kindness, I contend that they're not thinking about it. They're not thinking, today, I'm going to be kind. Today, I'm going to really be generous. Instead, they have been formed that way. So I asked my mom for permission to use this as an example of this. But my mom is visiting today, and for me, she's an example of this kind of formation. My mom lives in a small farm near Owen Sound, and since my father passed away, she has been hosting exchange students and refugees. Now, in the past 6 years, she has hosted 11 different people, and they come from all over the world to live with us in her rustic country home, and every morning they read a devotion together. And this is a pattern that I can see also extending to my grandparents. Where did my mom learn it from? Well, her parents. They did something similar. They also hosted foster children on their farm. And surprise, something that has rubbed off on us as well, too. We have also been formed to have and host people in our own home. We don't think ourselves into becoming better lovers. In the same way, we take on habits. We take on the kind of patient love and let that become a second nature to us through our worship. Let's God love continually bring us closer to who he is every morning and throughout the day. We are what we love. Let's pray to God that we love God each more every day. God, we thank you for this passage, for this chance to meditate on your word and what it means for us today, for the encouragement that we don't need to think ourselves into being more kind, more peaceful, but rather we just need to allow ourselves to be shaped in worship into being the people we were formed to be. And I just pray for anyone here that's struggling up against a bad influence in their life, something that's taken control of them. I just pray for deliverance for those people. Help them to see that you are waiting for them, that you want them, that you would desire them. And I just pray that they can take those steps today and this rest of this week to come close to you, God, to let the Holy Spirit pour into their lives. And I just pray that we can be faithful servants of you in every way. Amen. We're going to sing a song, "There Are No We Are Christians by Our Love."